Good morning. It's March 13th. It is another lovely morning in New York City. The birds are singing, and this is your Indignity Morning Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Skoka, taking a look at the day and the news. The biggest news, or what all the other news would have led someone to believe would have been the biggest news, is nowhere on the front page of this morning's New York Times, nor anywhere inside the paper, presumably in part because of print deadlines. But online, while they have the story, it's not at the top of the homepage. Anyway, the news is, and you might want to sit down and brace yourself for this. Okay, are you ready? The presidential nominating races are over. That's right. The contested part of primary season officially ended last night. Joe Biden has secured enough delegates to the Democratic National Convention to be the Democratic Party's presidential nominee. Donald Trump has secured enough delegates to the Republican National Convention to be the Republican presidential nominee. All those months and months of polling, all those dispatches from reporters traipsing around Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina, all those profiles of candidates and maybe profiles of a candidate's favorite operative, it was all ostensibly building toward this moment, the moment of decision. And yet, they didn't hold the presses for it. They didn't put a teaser about how the news was on its way. They haven't blown out the website for it. All this coverage of the horse race, and when the horses hit the wire, nobody's even looking. A reader looking back at the coverage might begin to wonder if there had been something insincere about the whole thing. Speaking of insincerity, the lead news story on the front page is about Robert Herr's testimony to Congress. Print being what it is, the headline has to collapse two news cycles into one. The headline being, Special Counsel Defends Claims on Biden Lapses. As we discussed yesterday, Robert Herr's appearance to testify before the House was prefaced by the public release of the transcript of his interviews with Joe Biden, which seemed to be at odds with the message of Herr's special counsel report that Biden had been plagued by serious memory problems and would probably appear to a jury to be too helpless and doddering to be held accountable for keeping classified materials. Salute to the subhead writer for characterizing yesterday's event as heated House hearing. Nice to see a little alliterative flair in that news column. Second subhead, under attack from both parties, Herr denies political motives. That seems to be about the size of it. Rather than building on Herr's attempt to make Joe Biden look bad, it sounds like Republicans were focused on the thankless task of trying to suggest that Donald Trump should not be prosecuted, or making off with classified documents, refusing to return them, and obstructing the efforts to get them back, because Joe Biden is not going to be prosecuted for bringing some documents home and then turning them in once he found out he had them. Down at the bottom of the front page, the story of the mid-flight blowout of the Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 MAX 9 has expanded to make someone other than just Boeing and its contractors look terrible. The Times writes, a day before the door plug blew out of an Alaska Airlines flight on January 5th, engineers and technicians for the airline were so concerned about the mounting evidence of a problem that they wanted the plane to come out of service the next evening and undergo maintenance, interviews and documents show. But the airline chose to keep the plane, a Boeing 737 MAX 9, in service on January 5th, with some restrictions, carrying passengers until it completed three flights that were scheduled to end that night in Portland, Oregon, the site of one of the airline's maintenance facilities. The plane ended up making it through the first of those three flights and a few minutes of the next one, and then it ended up going in for maintenance anyway. On the jump page for that, the Times also reports that Boeing flunked a bunch of FAA audits. Spirit AeroSystems, the subcontractor responsible for the fuselage of the 737 MAX, failed more than half of its audits. At one point during the examination, the Times writes, the Air Safety Agency observed mechanics at Spirit using a hotel key card to check a door seal, according to a document that describes some of the findings. That action was not identified slash documented slash called out in the production order, the document said. In another instance, the Times continues, the FAA saw Spirit mechanics apply liquid Dawn soap to a door seal as lubricant in the fit-up process, according to the document. The door seal was then cleaned with a wet cheesecloth, the document said, noting that instructions were vague and unclear on what specifications slash actions are to be followed or recorded by the mechanic. Maybe the airplane and airline industries are secretly saving the planet by bringing the jet age and its heavy carbon emissions to an end through sheer greed, incompetence, and cheapness. On page A14 is the news that, after a purge of Republican National Committee leadership to replace executives hopelessly subservient to Donald Trump with executives even more aggressively loyal to Donald Trump, the new regime has laid off more than 60 officials from the committee. Donald Trump is now operationally in control of the party, to the same extent he was already politically in control of the party. The Republican Party has no political goals or interests other than Donald Trump's goals and interests. His daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, is now the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. Some Republicans, the Times writes, worry that the former president will use committee money to pay his legal bills. Ms. Trump has previously said she would be open to the idea, saying that the move would be popular among Republican voters and a big interest to people. And this is already plenty of podcast, but really quickly, Adam Liptak nicely and correctly identifies Amy Coney Barrett's concurrence in Donald Trump's ballot eligibility case, in which she called for civility and a lowering of the temperature on the Supreme Court, as the act of aggression it was, introducing a story on a panel featuring Barrett and Justice Sonia Sotomayor, by saying it happened a week after Justice Amy Coney Barrett chastised Justice Sonia Sotomayor for choosing to amplify disagreement with stridency in a Supreme Court decision. That's right. Rebuking other people for being rude and hostile is a way of being rude and hostile. Nicely done. That is the news. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to Indignity to keep us going. And if all goes well, we will talk again tomorrow.